Honest as a day is long.
Love it. I'll double down on what he said about Lane Kiffin. It was a joke. I mean, he was kidding.
He was kidding.
He was 100% kidding when he was in that press conference.
And if you're missing, what that was all about. The tight end who was with the Browns, who they waived and was going to LSU, where Kiffin is the head coach. Todd said last week, he said, "I got a phone call from Lane Kiffin. Guess I should have called him back." And Todd was, you could tell he was kind of kidding at the time. And Kiffin yesterday came out and said, "I never called Todd Monken, blah, 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 blah." So, you know, didn't want to get anybody in hot water there. So Todd just saying, you know, maybe it was his staff, whatever. He said, "I was making a joke."
It was completely a joke.
Yeah.
And I think we were all.
The situation's just weird.
It was real. His initial reaction to it was hysterical. Like he may as well have been a comedian, stand up comedian at that point, because I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, I said it today at the beginning of the show. How outrageous is it that a guy has been on two NFL teams and is now going back to college? So if you go back and look at it, when he finally does land with LSU, he will have been on four teams in the last 10 months, starting with Mississippi, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Browns, and now LSU. Like, that is a path that has never been cleared out before, and a lot of people find it comical. You know, it's like
Todd does.
So why do you play college football in the first place? If you think you're good, you want to make a career out of it so you can make more money and go to the NFL. Well, here's a player with an opportunity to go to the NFL. Now he's got to work a little bit harder because he's a free agent. But you're like, huh? What? Like, what's going on? Now he wants to go back, and because he has the opportunity, and there's only, you know, because of what's going on with the courts, there's only a couple states where you can actually do that now, because first the class of 2022 could go back to school, and now all of a sudden, like in some states you can't, but in some states you can, and Louisiana is one of those states that you can, and it's wildly
weird,
entertaining,
yeah,
and yet really weird, because the end goal used to always be the NFL, and now the fact that you can make way more money in college than you could as a, you know,
as an end of the roster guy,
yeah. So it's like, okay, I understand why he's doing it. I don't have a problem with that, but it's just no one on this planet has ever seen anything like this before.
I like Todd's talk about the quarterbacks for the game on Thursday. We want to see more Dylan.
And by the way, if you were thinking Shedeur Sanders could be in the same, he can't. He's class of 21, just so you know.
And he's already actually played in the NFL.
Well, so here's the question. What if he would have stepped on the field Saturday? Would that make a difference? No. They still would have released him.
It's a preseason game. They don't count.
I got to tell you, playing for tape. Tell him, coach, every game counts. Every snap counts.
You put those pads on it. You put those helmets on it. You get the hell out there. That's what matters.
Even stretching counts, doesn't it, coach?
Damn right.
Even, you know, because imagine how much how much more of a win we would have had at Normandy, right?
All right, Andy.
Right?
He's calling for drops.
Yeah, now he's just begging for
now
drops.
Now he's just begging for drops.
Plus the fun.
Where's Bob Wiley when you need him?
I don't know, but did you see the movie Pressure? It's really good. It's about Normandy. It's pretty awesome. We had better meteorologists.
I've heard it's good.
That's what Eisenhower said. That's why we had better meteorologists.
Oh, I'll have to go.
You have to watch it. It's good. It's really good.
What do you?
I enjoyed it.
I because the Browns quarterback situation is as what's the best word to describe it right now?
The quarterback situation?
Because it's as
convoluted?
There, perfect word. Because it's as convoluted as it is, aren't you anxious to see Dylan Gabriel where he has a chance to prep and be the main guy and go after even second, third, fourth stringers of another team? I want to see it. And I want to see Taylor Green.
Okay, so let me ask the average fan. Would you rather see Dylan Gabriel or watch any given game on Saturday where you think that college quarterback is going to be your starting quarterback next year? What do you want to watch?
Well, in this case, I'd rather watch our team, because Dylan Gabriel just might end up taking the field for this team this year.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to be the quarterback of the future. Like, I almost think that someone
any of these guys is going to be the quarterback.
I give
of
Dylan
the future,
Gabriel credit, so. Because, man, if I got anywhere near a microphone, it'd be hard not to tell you how he probably really feels. I mean, here's a guy that's had success all the way through his career.
Big success.
And then he came here and he got handed the ball. And people wondered why the fifth-round pick was more popular than the third-round pick. But the third-round pick would have been popular had they not selected another quarterback in the fifth round.
That's exactly right.
And we'd be going, I don't know, man, he's just not big enough. And then we would all be going back and saying, well, look at Tua. And look at all the other look at all the other quarterbacks that are under 6 foot.
Tua is actually bigger than Dylan.
Yeah, I just randomly picked somebody who's not gigantic at quarterback.
That's not Ben
Roethlisberger.
That's fair.
And so, you know, that and then we would be making excuses for him. Absolutely, we absolutely would be making excuses. Well, you know, they drafted him in the third round. Don't you want to see what he looks like? And but the problem was they drafted another quarterback in the fifth. I don't care who it is. It didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense today. And folks, it's not going to make sense tomorrow.
That's fair. But I want to see him.
They created their own drama by selecting. Again, I know that there's a lot of Shador fans, right? So I'm not questioning. The point isn't about Shador. The point is about drafting a quarterback in the third round and then drafting another one in the fifth round. You have just cut the legs out from the guy in the third round.
Well, and it's, let me take it a step further. It's about drafting two quarterbacks past the round where you think you draft a quarterback who's going to be anything long term.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Okay, well, Tom Brady. Yeah, I know. Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Brock Purdy.
Your percentage odds of
decrease
being a starter quarterback
significantly
once you leave that second round, right?
Once you leave the first, you know, second, yeah, you got a chance.
A chance, but you
third
know
third round.
Well, you know what they call third rounders? Career backups.
Well, yeah.
If they're lucky.
Yeah. I mean, how many Russell Wilsons are there? Not very many.
Let me check. One.
Not very many.
They made this drama. They did. The front office made the drama when they decided they wanted to bring in two quarterbacks last year. And now, by the way, you're starting Deshaun, as we said in the first segment of the show. Now you have two draft picks that you had from last year that are sitting on the bench. Two quarterbacks, two draft picks above the sixth round. That's not good. And you're rolling the dice that all the other draft picks are good? Yeah, those higher draft picks have been good, and that's a great change of pace for what we've seen throughout Andrew Berry's career, going back to last year. But then someone goes, I wonder how much influence Paul DePodesta had. Mm-hmm.
Ken's in Youngstown. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
How you doing? Hey, I try to listen to all the shows. I'm not sure if this has been touched on a lot, but kind of an angle on the Watson thing that maybe hasn't been talked about a lot.
Let's hear it.
I think the defense is going to be a bigger letdown than anybody imagined, and I think that's going to compound Watson's problem because they are going to be playing from behind, and he's horrible. And now he's going to be forced to throw. We got serious issues. You got one stud on the defensive line. And the deal with Graham, you know, I know it's his first year, but, you know, rookies like Fannin, the linebacker, Junkins, nobody had to kind of say, like, well, it doesn't show up in the stats, but they're really good players. I mean, again, it's only his first year, but I'm not real confident that he's a quality first-round pick. There's a bunch of guys on the line, and, you know, we do have some good linebackers. Secondary is extremely thin. I mean, our starters are top-notch, but beyond that, when guys go 3, 4, 5 wide, we're going to be in horrible trouble. So my prediction is the defense is not going to be anywhere as good as anybody thinks. Browns are going to be from behind, and it's just going to be a dumpster fire for Watson.
Well, that's a cheery call, Ken. Thank you very much. That is an issue. If this offense gets behind and has to throw the ball, Andy, you got to wonder a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right. Well, we won't. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Football talk and coverage on 92.3 The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity. Imagine that.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Let's go to the Wise Heart Right. We make it right. Call Kyle Wright Hotline. You read him for years when he was covering the NFL nationally for Yahoo Sports. Now he's doing it for himself, NFLBlueBook.com. He's one of our favorite guys, and if you want some knowledge about the NFL, you listen to Charles Robinson. Hello, Charles. How are you?
Hey, Charles.
What's going on, gents? How you guys doing today?
Good to have you with us.
We just don't have anything to ever talk about.
No,
when it
nothing
comes to the
in Cleveland.
Browns.
It's so boring.
Yeah, there's
I'm sure it's a very calm environment in Berea and the surrounding areas, counties, cities.
Yeah, we're such a generic football.
That's
city,
the word
right?
we'd use.
Wouldn't you say that, Jeff? Generic when it comes
sure.
to topics about the Browns.
Yeah, sure. When you caught wind that Todd Monken was naming Deshaun Watson the starting quarterback for at least game one, and he said not week to week, but for game one and beyond, you thought what?
Well, it was funny because I was on, I was with the Panthers, who obviously they're going to see in week three. And I was talking to a member of their front office, and I was like, hey, you want to know who you guys are going to see? In week three, maybe as the starting quarterback, and he was shocked. Like he was like stunned and couldn't believe it. And I would have to say that, look, for me, when I went back to my notes and, you know, kind of everything that I gathered when I went through camp, I was like, okay, I could see a couple of things where I'm like, why didn't this just convince me when I was walking out that it was definitely Deshaun? Like, why did I really, you know, give this more leeway than it probably really had? And that was, you know, when I talked to somebody, be careful about how I phrase this. I talked to somebody in the organization. I said, look, like this decision is going to come. And when it comes, what am I, you know, what are we going to be able to say about the starter? Like the starter can do X or this is why that this ultimately happened. And what I was told was, you know, the Browns kind of look at the quarterback spot like this is like 70 plays, right? It's 70 opportunities for a quarterback to go to the line of scrimmage in Todd Monken's offense. And it's 70 decisions you got to make. Whether you're throwing the ball or you're running the ball, you have to align all these different decisions in order to have, you know, a successful play. And, you know, so this individual's going through, like, here's all the things in Todd's system you're going to have to do. A quarterback's going to have to do. And as it's piling up in my mind, even then, I was thinking, man, yeah, this is a lot. Like, you're not managing an offense. You're running it at the line of scrimmage. And so, you know, goes through all this stuff. And then, it, you know, basically caps it off with, like, you know, Todd asks his quarterbacks to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. I'm like, okay. And then later when I talked to Monken, you know, he had the same bullet points that he's had all camp about, you know, stacking plays and points and all that stuff. But, you know, he was very emphatic about, we got to win. Like, we have to win now. And, you know, we talked a little later on beyond that point, just about, you know, I told him he kind of reminded me of Bruce Arians, and these are both coaches that are very blunt guys. They got their first NFL, you know, head coaching job late in their careers, and they didn't have time to broker BS, basically. Like, look, I'm not going to play the developmental game. And it felt like, you know, that's where Monken was coming from. And he even said at one point, I can't worry about down the road. Like, I'm not here to worry about down the road. And so looking back, I'm like, I should have just married those two concepts and known, like, it's going to be Deshaun, because it's going to have to be the guy who can go to the line and do the 50 things that need to be done at the line of scrimmage to the best of his ability. And then at the same time, if you're not worried about down the road, well, Shador's the down the road guy. So looking back, I kind of felt like, yeah, it was pretty baked in. And then once obviously Deshaun had his emotional moment, said what he said in the press conference, and I was just like, whoa. Like at that moment, I'm like, I don't know how you could even do it now. But then Todd immediately followed up with, that's not going to play into the decision. I was like, okay. It kind of felt like it was what it was going to be. And so once it happened, I think my mind sort of moved to, okay, well, now what are the questions? Like, the success or failure of this, does that weigh on Monken's, you know, like, reputation in the building? Where does Shador go from here? And, you know, and then even for Watson, like, what is success? Like, what is the measure? What's the benchmark? Because if it's wins, and he's not winning games, but he's playing good football, I've just been told repeatedly it's about winning games, right? Yep. So There's definitely, you know, I think more that goes into it than just Deshaun's history. It's like, how can he operate this particular offense? And maybe that's the narrower sort of path that I should have been looking at that I wasn't.
Jeff and I spent a little time today talking about things that are unsaid by the decisions that are made, right? So, like, they trade Miles, pick up a first-round draft pick. The unsaid thing there is, ooh, two first-round draft picks.
Right.
They've got an opportunity for quarter. Same thing here. Like, you don't start Jadeur. What are you saying, really, about his long-term future? That's, like, it's the unsaid things and the actions that you're pulling off that we're still, like, we're trying to figure that out. And so,
with the 2027 draft just months away.
Yeah. So, like, what do you think the unsaid things or the byproducts of these decisions are leading us to? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said, I think, much to the dismay of Browns fans when they traded Miles and they brought in Jared Verse and, you know, netted the pick and all that. I told people that organizationally they felt like they were one more offseason away. And I thought the read between the lines text there was, we're a quarterback away. We're one more, because so much of the offense and defense looked shored up with young players. As long as the developmental arc was going where it was going to go, the one significant outlier, and I can't tell you how many GMs will freely admit this, you know, when you're talking to them on background, if you do not, no matter how good your team is, if you don't have that resolve, that quarterback, you're always going to be stuck in this quagmire of we're good on all these, you know, and all these other facets, but we just can't, you know, fix the quarterback spot. So to me, you know, and I said this when the Garrett trade went down, I think I said it on X, like they feel like they're, or I might've said it on the show. I mean, I can't even remember. I just remember people flipped out because they're like, I'm tired of hearing that. And I'm like, well, but that's the reality. You might be tired of hearing it, but it doesn't change that it's a reality. When I go through Arizona this year and I talk to them and they're like, hey, here's the things we feel good about. They know the underlying reality to everything is they don't have any idea whether or not they have the 2027 quarterback on the roster. So, I don't even know that's necessarily, it needs to be said. I think everybody sees it. And I think one repercussion of starting Deshaun that I thought of immediately is, well, this shortens the runway for Shadur to prove himself in the franchise.
I think too.
Yeah. You have to do that in games. So however, like, let's just play this out. Let's say Deshaun, you know, plays to a standard where he ends up starting. If he starts the whole season, well, then you haven't resolved anything, because I don't know that you can necessarily, that he can necessarily be the future at quarterback. I mean, unless it's just gangbusters. And either way, you'd have to contend with free agency, and with the way this league is, you'd probably end up having to bid. I just don't think that's a road you can go down. I just don't. And then, you know, so if Deshaun starts the season, I think you're going to the drawing board at quarterback. If Deshaun starts half the season, well, that's only half the season now that Shador's got an opportunity to prove himself quickly enough, you know, to force himself into that conversation coming in the off season. And I'm just telling you, like, this 2027 class, it's not relenting, this idea that the quarterbacks are, when I went through Carolina, I spent time with a number of their personnel people, and the 2027 draft came up, and I'm like, you know, they're all working ahead right now in that class. And I said, how many quarterbacks do you think are going in the first? They said bare minimum five. They're like, five, unless injuries happen. That's how deep this class is going to be. And they're like, and it's not only deep, it's they're stars, like legitimate cornerstone stars. So I don't think anything's really changed other than the fact that, you know, you're starting off with a veteran, and I do agree with the assessment that most organizations feel like it's easier to start with a veteran and flip to the young guy versus the reverse. You know, just because of what it, you know, speaks to with the team. It just, you know, sometimes you start with a young, unproven player, and especially if things start out poorly quickly, there becomes questions in the building, like, are we really trying to win games? You know, what am I doing here? And it can weigh, I think, on just the overall thought process of guys coming in every day to work. So it is what it is, guys. Like, I don't know. I don't think I'd be surprised if Deshaun all of a sudden turns into, you know, a quality player. I think he can just function in Monken's offense. And I bet you, you know, you run the football a lot. You play, you play good defense. Here's one thing I will ask you, and I do think this deserves to be explored. What if, and I wasn't told this, but I thought about this. What if the thought process is, hey, we also have young, you know, we have a core of young players on offense who we have to bring along. So we need things to go right. We need things to be aligned right. Mm. We don't, you know, we need things to be clean. We need to play with tempo to develop those players as well. What if it's harder to do that? If you're like, all right, let's go through the Shedeur growth process this season. It might be uneven. Does that not then affect other players that now have to grow too? When you're playing with a player who's going through his own growth and might be having, you know, a roller coaster experience, it now forces you also on that roller coaster.
So creating a better experience next year's first round draft choice to come into a team that's already established.
Which to me, what you're kind of saying is I would, you know what you would really like here? Joe Flacco from 2 years ago to help those guys develop. Is that kind of where you're going? Like,
I don't have any problem. I mean, I liked Joe. Like, I thought Joe was, Joe is going to be Joe, and he's going to do, he's probably going to throw for 350 yards, and then he was going to throw two really horrible picks that cost you the game. But, you know, it's, you kind of knew what you were getting. And I think functionally he's capable of bringing out, remember when Joe came in, I saw offensive players who were not showing up all of a sudden. I'm like, whoa,
yes.
Okay. So now I'm starting to see a tight end who's got a ton of talent. Now he's showing up again, you know, in the offense. We've got wideouts that are showing up in the offense. So I do think there is an element of, you also have to bring along, there are other younger players on that offense who need to be brought along and who need to grow, and it's harder for them to grow if the person who's the centerpiece of that offense, you can't do everything you want to do. So let's say with Deshaun, you can put him out there. He can do, you know, checks in terms of the motions. You can do all that stuff. Like, you just have the full suite of pre-snap available to you. Now, post-snap, maybe it's he's not identifying certain things or what, you know, who knows what happens post-snap. But at least pre-snap, you can run a cleaner offense and you can run a cleaner tempo, and players get used to that, right? It helps them, you know, it helps that development. Post-snap would be great too, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is the calculus here of why you would choose a Deshaun at this stage if you really kind of feel like it's limited or there's a cap. But I don't think Munkin's lying when he says, I'm going to choose the guy who's going to help me win games. Clearly he believes that. So now I think that becomes the measure of Deshaun. I'm like, all right, I'll take you at your word. Let's see how many games you can win.
Charles Robinson joining us, NFLBlueBook.com, and you can get his newsletter delivered to your mail. You can go right to NFLBlueBook.com and get that every morning, can you not, Charles? Or every morning you put it out?
Yeah, absolutely. It's free to subscribe.
I have, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
I appreciate that.
You're like, everybody, I saw you guys come in.
I'm actually working on Brown's piece right now, trying to I gathered all this stuff, and I'm like, I'll use this, you know, I'll keep this and, like, use it later in the season. But now I'm kind of like, I should probably just use this right now.
There we go. So, hey, they're not going to bring in anybody else at quarterback, right? This is it?
I don't.
Well, we saw what they did last year. That's why that we keep happening. Asking.
I don't, because I, here's the thing. I would have to question, like, what's the familiarity? And, like Todd and I, at one point, we were talking about, you know, he just straight up said, he said, he's like, everybody would love to have a Lamar Jackson. He's like, but, you know, this is what it is. There aren't many of those guys to go around. And he was very clear. He's like, look, when you have a Lamar, everybody else is just fighting it out for second and third place, right? So then when you think of, like, who's Todd exposed to, well, who are you going to bring in? You know, who has he had a wealth of experience, in, you know, with that's going to become available? It's certainly not going to be Lamar Jackson. So I just don't know at this point. Now that you've been through the off-season program with these guys, who can help you at this stage, unless somebody completely, it's like a shocker, freeze up, and someone's out there. But I don't know. I don't foresee that happening. I don't think they're bringing in the quarterback. I'd be stunned if they did.
Charles, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us. NFLBlueBook.com. It's Charles' website. You can go to it. Tons of great information on the NFL. You can sign up for his email letter that'll show up in your inbox. And it's good stuff. Charles, thank you very much.
Thanks, Charles.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Charles Robinson joining us on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right call, Kyle Wright Hotline.